I'm a little bit less exciting. I'm just a regular filmmaker and actor. My name's Julian. I'm from Australia, as you can probably hear from my voice. I grew up here, but I've been working in the States for a couple of years, acting and directing my first movie called Use Me, which stars the lady next to me named Ciara Lynch. Hi, Ciara.
Hi. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, I'm Ciara Lynch, and I work as a internet dominatrix.
I told you it was less exciting what I do.
Ciara, can you tell me what is an internet dominatrix for those who maybe haven't been online before?
Right, fair enough. It's just like it sounds, you know, traditional dominatrix has a dungeon where they whip and tie up men and humiliate them. And I don't quite do that. I do everything online. So in the form of videos, cam shows, talking on the phone, that sort of thing. And it's mostly verbal. And yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
So you abuse them verbally, not physically. Is
correct.
That kind of right?
Okay.
And you're also, in the film, you're described as a financial dominatrix.
That's one of the fetishes I deal with, yes.
Can you
embellish on that? Yeah. It's basically the idea of guys that like to give money for the pure pleasure of giving money in of itself. That's what they get off on.
It's like a power play, right? It's mm-hmm. like, okay, so they're giving you all this power and they're losing it and they love that.
Now we know who you are. Let's talk about the film. Now, Julian, can you first of all tell me about the original film that you intended to make?
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought I was going to do a documentary about Ciara. That idea lasted about 3 days because she was super well-adjusted, super down-to-earth, grounded, not enough conflict. I mean, not that I wanted you to be a victim or something, but I was like, I just don't know if this is a documentary. So I thought I could kind of make a scripted movie inspired by her life, and that's what Use Me is. It's a fictionalized thriller, but she plays herself, I play myself, and it kind of walks this line between what's real and what isn't. And honestly, it's such a mesh of like fantasy and reality that even we get a bit confused about what's real and what's not, you know?
Now, Ciara, did you have any issues about agreeing to be the subject of the documentary initially? I mentioned you would have had some reservations, like, for online clients, maybe getting an opportunity to see behind the mask, if you will.
That doesn't bother me. But no, I was apprehensive in the sense that any woman or man that's been in the sex industry, we're naturally apprehensive about an outsider coming in and depicting us in some way, because so often we're depicted as victims or a freak show or something like that. So I was wary of Julian because I didn't know him and I didn't know what his agenda was or what his angle was or how I was going to appear through his lens. So that just took a lot of getting to know him and working with him and building a lot of trust. And eventually, I felt comfortable enough with the project that, you know, I was 100% into it.
So that only took 3 days before you decided to go down the fictional narrative?
No, it was more like the germ of an idea. Honestly, I spent a couple of years after that kind of writing a screenplay. And then also I'd fly to Portland with you and we'd kind of film each other with our cameras. We went to Las Vegas. I got to know her friends. I kind of got deeper into the world, researched more. And we did get to know each other. And you're right, it did take a lot of trust because it's a pretty intense movie, you know? There's a lot that we depict on screen. Some fights, a sex scene. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we had to be really confident about the story we were trying to tell because it was pretty edgy subject matter. But we got there. And yeah, once you were all in on it, it just took off. We did a Kickstarter. We got some funding. And I had to move to the States. You know, I had to completely turn my life upside down. But I'm glad I did. It was the best creative experience I've ever had, honestly.
Did either one of you take any convincing as to the new direction of the project? Did you ever get say to Ciara, well, this is how I want to go. And you go, what the hell for? Or
what do you think? I mean, there were a couple of versions of the story that, you know, there was a point where it was a bit more like a love story and that felt wrong, you know. I also think, you know, there's a way I describe it where it's like you're kind of like Joker in the movie, right? As opposed to Bruce Wayne. You know, I'm more like Bruce Wayne. You know, like my character kind of changes and goes on a journey. And I think initially we had her character kind of changing and it didn't quite feel right. It felt better that she was the kind of catalyst and kind of, you know, my foil and antagonist. So
yeah, and yeah. I think it makes sense that, like, naturally you'd think I would be the one to kind of go through that arc because I'm the transgressive one. And so it almost seems like I'm the one that needs to learn a lesson. But yeah, for the first few scripts that were written, they felt a little off. I didn't necessarily, like, totally hate them or anything, but they definitely just didn't feel right. But it really felt like as time went on and we worked on this, like, it just got better and better. And it was just, I could just tell it was going you know, the direction it was going, that the final product would be something that I'd really like and be proud of.
But I think you're right. It could have gone down that sex worker gets saved kind of storyline. And I think early on we were like, "This, that's not fresh. That's been done. That's not even authentic." So, yeah, hopefully we made something a little bit more original. You know, we're proud of it.
Ciara, now you're a successful businesswoman, filmmaker in your own right. Did you have any issues with handing over or sharing creative control with Julian, given that you're already quite good at what you do and you know what you want to do?
Yeah, definitely. The thing that I think really helped with our relationship and working together is, even though Julian did the vast majority of the work, of the writing and the filming and directing and everything, I never felt left out of the process. He always clued me in on everything. He always gave me the latest script. He always showed me the latest edit. You know, he always told me his latest idea. And so that really helps. Like, he really took in my feedback and took it seriously. And so I think that made a big difference.
So there were no times the two of you sort of butted heads and where you were just determined that, no, that's not going into the film, or this must be in the film?
That's a really good question. I mean, was there? Did we ever? We never came to blows or anything.
No, not really. I wouldn't say that. No, there was. There's a sex scene in the movie, and that was sort of our second sex scene. We did the first one we filmed. Julian was very aggressive, you could say, and I remember thinking, like, watching it over, we filmed it and then immediately watched it over on the camera, and right away I was just like, this doesn't look good. Like, it looks rapey, you know, and it's not going to translate well, especially in this, like, Me Too era. And I was just like, my gut was just like, I don't think this is good. And Julian was like, okay, let's sleep on it, you know, which is smart. Like, he likes to sleep on things and get some distance and then kind of come back to it. And but you came back to it agreeing, basically. You're like,
no,
yeah,
for
you're
sure.
Right.
No, I mean, I think we kind of overthought it originally. It was kind of like, oh, the tables are going to be turned and she's this dominatrix, but she'll be kind of like more submissive in the sex scene. And then, as you said, it just, the optics were not good. But then, you know, it's funny talking about, we had to reshoot the sex scene. How terrible. But actually, to me, it turned out to be one of the strongest scenes in the movie, you know. And I think for me, with sex scenes in movies, yes, they should be hot and titillating and artistic. That's great. But if you can, like, move the characters forward, or if there's some emotional dynamic to a sex scene, then they can be really powerful. And it's funny. We spent a long time editing that sex scene and getting it just right. But it's a super important scene in the movie. It actually reveals a lot about both our characters. So look out for that about 20 minutes in.
I don't think you'll miss it.
I don't think you'll miss it. Yeah.
Well, sorry to harp on the sex scene, but
harp away.
Online Ciara was quite adamant about not doing nudity, and yet there was this sex scene in the film. Where does Online Ciara and, like, regular everyday Ciara, where
the lines are blurry?
The lines are very blurry. Yeah, and I'm just wondering, like, am I talking to the real you now, or are you still behind a mask?
Yeah, I don't know. There's Ciara Lynch in the fetish videos. There's the version of me I play in the movie, and then there's also just me. So, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. All I can say is that...
Sorry, it wasn't a very good question at all.
No, I see what you're saying.
No, look, you're flabbergasted, just like I have been for years trying to figure out who the real Ciara Lynch is. Okay, but wouldn't you say this, to kind of answer the question? It's like, the movie seems very organic, chaotic, kind of messy, like it all just happened, but I would say a lot of thought went into it. I mean, even how do we present nudity? How do we do something that is off-brand for you, like a sex scene, which people aren't meant to see? I mean, we discussed this stuff a lot. We really broke it down. And, you know, we were careful with how we presented you. But I think the fact that you're struggling to come up with a question shows that you did retain your enigmatic quality. You know, it's sort of like you get to the end of the movie and you're like, God, do I even know Ciara Lynch any more than when the movie began? Which I kind of like. I like that you're still kind of mysterious and people can project whatever they want onto her, because that's what I think is what it's amazing about what she does. You know, she will bring your fantasy to life. She's kind of whatever you want her to be.
Good answer.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, and that was another question I had, like, concerns about potential online clients or whatever, your future business. I mean, how this movie would possibly affect that, like, where people think, oh, gosh, now I know what she's like and I'll go and find someone else to be mean to me online.
It's only ever helped me. I think there are tons of women in my industry that will just play the one-dimensional femdom. And so if a guy wants that, they have tons of options. I think it's actually quite refreshing that, like, I occasionally give them the peek behind the curtain and they see me as a real person. I just recently did a workshop on financial domination for the Sydney Underground Film Festival when we screened there a few months ago. And I just put it up online and the feedback has been like overwhelmingly positive and people love the fact that I'm just... Basically, I treated it as not so much a workshop as me just kind of telling my story and my journey and like who I am and like what I've learned about this weird fetish and just some anecdotes. And I just tried to be as candid as possible. And people love it. They really do. And I'm sure there's some people that are turned off by it, but I don't hear from them.
No, I think they're in a minority. And actually, you know, something I always forget to say is like when I first discovered her, yes, saw some clips, saw the website, but it was that I read some blogs that you'd written. And that was actually what sealed the deal for me because I was like, God, there's some real depth and layers to this whole thing. And I agree. I don't want to brag, but I think the movie really only helps your image, actually, you know.
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, it's different, it's original. And, you know, anytime you're original, that's only going to help you.
Nice.
Does making a film dependent upon Kickstarter contributions at all compromise your vision?
No.
Or does it actually allow more creative freedom?
No, I mean, Kickstarter is a great thing in the sense that, God, how do I say this the right way? I mean, look, the people are giving you money because they believe in your vision and they're kind of trusting you. You don't have to pay them back. It's not like an investor where it's like, hey, here's the return on investment. Like their involvement in it and their name in the credits and some rewards, but that's all they get. So it's actually quite liberating. And, you know, I take that responsibility very seriously. People paid their hard-earned money to help us make this movie. So you just want to do a great job for them. But here's the thing. This is a weird movie. It defies easy, you know, categorization. It would have been hard to do it with a studio. You know, we got independent money. We had things like Kickstarter and a bit of sponsorship. That let us make the movie we wanted to make. We made no compromises, right?
Yeah.
I mean, truly, this was what we wanted to do. We took our time.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it was probably the most freeing experience I've ever had making a film.
Yeah, I think if anything, people were confused about how long it takes to make a movie.
Yeah.
So we had people that were impatient thinking that, again, this was the minority, but there were some people just like, was this a scam? Were you just taking our money?
Right.
Like,
you are a financial dominatrix. I definitely got a lot of that.
Yeah, so bad optics, but you know, we pulled through.
I will say it's pretty, you can make a bad movie pretty fast. I mean, you can shoot it on your iPhone. You can just make a 90-minute movie. But I think for us, you know, we did audience testing. You know, we paid money. We got audiences to look at it, review it, tell us what they thought. We went back into re-editing, you know, we took a lot of time getting it just how we wanted it. So I would just say for any filmmakers listening, if you don't have a lot of money, make sure you got enough time. Time is the magic ingredient that will overcome a lack of money. There you go. It's my tip.
Okay. Now, without sort of wanting to pigeonhole the film at all, the film to me like felt a little bit like a cross between The Blair Witch Project and The Girlfriend Experience. Were either of those films very big influences on your filmmaking style?
I love that. I mean, Blair Witch Project, I mean, not consciously, but I think everyone has just absorbed that. I mean, that was such a zeitgeist movie when it came out. Such a brilliant example of the pseudo-documentary. Girlfriend Experience, for sure. You know, I screened that to Sierra. We watched that early on because I thought that was a really fresh movie. I thought Sasha Grey did a great job in that and kind of echoing what we knew of her from porn and everything, but playing this kind of fictionalized character. So that was a big one for us. I like that comparison. I mean, people have mentioned Catfish as well. What else have we heard? The Game.
Yeah, we get The Game a lot.
The Game we get. You know, various, I guess, erotic thrillers, if you could call them that.
I kind of like it because I don't think our movie's like any of those. So when people compare it, it's like, oh, that's pretty original then because they're totally different movies. I mean, there's like that comparison that it's kind of this found footage pseudo-documentary. But other than that, like, it's very different. So I'm pretty proud of that. It's like, it's very original.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, I just mentioned the Blair Witch Project because your character seems to be under more and more stress as the film goes on. And obviously, that you know, in the Blair Witch, they're becoming more and more terrified and they're all starting to die.
It was funny. Someone said this film should have been called the Blair Bitch Project, which I liked.
Love it.
But it's true. It is true. You know, my character kind of gets sucked into this seductive world. And hey, he's this Aussie guy. He's in America. He's with this great-looking dominatrix and all her friends. And living the American dream. And then it's like, well, get ready for the spiral to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. Yeah.
Well, the Blair Bitch Project could be the porn version of this film.
Someone
possibly
will make a parody. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I actually want to know, Sierra, how your peers in the adult industry have reacted to the film.
Oh, my God. Thankfully, so positive. I was probably worried most about that because my peers in the industry are super critical of any kind of fictionalized depictions of the sex industry because so often they get it wrong. And sometimes I think it's unfair. Like this really good show called Bonding came out on Netflix about a dominatrix and her assistant. I thought it was adorable. I thought it was well written. I thought it was really good. And it was super polarizing, like on Twitter. Like people either really liked it or really hated it. And the criticisms I thought were a little nitpicky. So I was very nervous about this coming out. I kept on thinking about like, oh, what are they going to think of this? What are they going to think of this? And it's been overwhelmingly positive, and I'm so thankful for that because it could have been so much worse.
Well, I just wanted to ask, one of the themes throughout the film is the American dream. Julian, are you living your American dream, or have you achieved your American dream now with the making of this film?
Yeah, I'm on the way, actually. I do feel like I'm on the way. I've lived a bit of the American nightmare as well along the way. Like, America's a country. I've been there coming up to 5 years now, and what's different compared to Australia is there is just no safety net. You know what I mean? If you stumble and fall in America, ain't nobody going to catch you. On the other hand, you can climb so high, you know? And that's why I moved over there. And that's, you know, you want to succeed in Hollywood and make big movies and acting jobs. And it is a dream I'm pursuing. I do feel like I kind of am living the American dream. And yeah, I guess I'm going to be based there going forward and keep following that dream and act in some bigger projects, make some bigger movies. That's the plan.
And Ciara, how's the American dream working out for you these days?
I don't know. I feel like the American dream is such an antiquated term. Like, I picture, like, the sort of nuclear family of, like, 1.5 children and a white picket fence and a monogamous relationship, and I don't have any of that. but I love my life. I feel like I've cheated my way in life in a weird sort of way, like, not that I've done anything wrong or bad, but sometimes I just have to pinch myself because I think, like, is this real? Like, how am I getting away with this? So it's a good life, and I'm living some sort of dream, that's for sure.